Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is the May 21.
Happy Biggie Day.
Yeah, Biggie Day. And who else is?
Havoc.
Havoc, and with somebody else too. But I was like, oh, I don't know, it was their birthday too. It was whoever that is. Sorry, but happy birthday to you too. But yeah, happy Biggie Day, and people are posting pictures. It's kind of the trip, like, you know, realizing like Big's been gone a really long time now.
Yeah,
it's 22 years. He died in 97.
That's crazy.
22 years, man. It's a long ass time. He'd be 47 now. It's a long ass time, man.
Wow, like, Big was only 25.
Yeah, him and Pac were both 25 when they died.
That's crazy.
A lot of life.
A lot of life that he didn't get to live. Like a lot of life, you know, sadly. So yeah, happy Biggie Day and peace to him and his, his remaining family members, his mom, God bless her, is still around. Looks good. Yeah. You know, his kids seem to be doing well. So yeah, let's, you know, just want to give a little shout out to them. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Todd.
Yeah, nah, you live in that writer's life.
Oh my God. I have carpal tunnel right now.
You gotta type all that shit, right?
Yeah, man. I gotta get a wrist.
You don't have any dictation.
You gotta get one of them wrist things.
Suggested that to me. I'm gonna try it because they were like, you can at least get your first draft out a little more quickly. I'm gonna try that. I just don't know if I'll be able to formulate my thoughts the same way if I'm just saying them out loud, but I am gonna start trying that because right now I'm on my third story in 4 days. So I don't know how people do this full time. Like, shout out to any of y'all who are actually full time writers. Shout out to y'all motherfuckers, cause this shit,
try it, because I know Mona used to say that, oh, I don't know if I could, and then when the iPhone, that function came out,
yeah,
it changed. She almost never types now. Like,
I'm gonna try that.
And it really catches what you're saying clearly.
Everything clearly, dude. And iPhones pick up on your nuance,
like your cadence and stuff, like
the things you normally say. So it's fairly, you know, it's helpful.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that for sure.
Try that out. I saw Broad down in Atlanta on Saturday night, right? Saturday evening. Saturday evening.
Yep. Saturday evening.
Down there for the, but I let you take over what you was down there for. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Oh, well, you know, we were down there for Justin's graduation. Morehouse.
That 4 years went by fast.
It really seemed, yeah.
Them payments ain't what you had. Two payments every year. But we went down for the graduating ceremony, and you know, obviously we're very, very proud parents. I'm happy for him. He was very excited. And we just had a great time, you know. I'll talk a little bit about the graduation.
Well, I was gonna say, so now when Robert Smith made his announcement, did you and Mona look at each other like, fuck, we should have financed this shit?
Nigga!
Like, who could have saved a whole bunch of money?
Like, who would have thought that?
Nobody.
That was not the move. You know what I mean? Like, who would have thought?
I was like, I could have at least got like a good portion out of this deal.
Got the new Target 911.
Yes, something, nigga. But listen, you know, obviously everyone saw the commencement speaker's gesture, which is a phenomenal gesture. Obviously, we know how Twitter goes, and that brought on several different conversations that, you know, we could probably chime in on a little bit later. But the main thing is that he basically says, hey, I'm adopting this particular class, 2019, you're my class now. And with that gesture, I'm going to eliminate, you know, your student loans.
Which is amazing.
Which is a massive, like, these kids are going to have, I don't know how long the whole process is going to be because they're establishing a grant, doing all that other stuff. I'm sure there's an application process and everything, but that is just going to, Black students are already like earning less than their peers, and they come out of school typically with more debt.
Mm-hmm.
So this just gives them like such a leg up, or at least like to a more equal playing field, you know?
And also too, what we have to remember is that, you know, they're still kids, right? And right. So, you know, a lot of this is parents, you know, parents right. taking on.
Yeah. And auntie so-and-so put a little up. And
we were really way in the back, which is another thing I'll get into. But there was a man and his, you know, I guess that was his wife. They were sitting behind us, and you can literally hear the sigh of relief.
Wow.
From that man. He was like, yo, I could retire. Like, right. I could stay on track to retire. Because obviously he realized that, yo, I probably got to work another 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, that's interesting because all my friends who I know, they as soon as they graduated, they started paying their student loans. Like everybody I know pays their own student loans. But I guess some parents do it at least in, you know, at first until they can't get a job or something.
That would kind of be, you know, listen, that's another part of the larger conversation, which
right.
is that student loans and that debt accumulation is so massive now. Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like we're not talking about leaving school with like 40 grand.
Yeah, it was average of 100 grand a student.
Yeah, you're leaving with 100 grand. So, and listen, and I saw numbers floating around like 40 million. And I guess what they did was basically take the average average of what that loan debt is going to be, which is about 100 grand, and multiply that amongst the 400 young men that were graduating. And that's, you know, it's not really accurate, right? Because, for example, in our case, Justin didn't carry any debt.
Yeah, he didn't have loans. So.
And I'm sure
it was other people there.
There's a bunch of other, you know, kids who,
you
know, parents either foot the bill or they were scholarship kids. I say all that to say it was still an amazing gesture and set the bar. And what I've also said to my son is that even though he will not, he won't and his family won't necessarily benefit from that gesture, I am still holding him accountable to paying it forward.
Absolutely.
I still want him to be a part of the process of relieving that from another kid. And even if it's something minor, I want him to feel, I am big on my kids understanding my children, I should say. They're not really kids anymore, but I'm big on them feeling a part of a community and understanding that they've grown up with a level of privilege and they've had a level of access, and that it is a part, it is incumbent on them to, help and reach back and give that. And I said, dude, imagine if you just gave, you know, a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
And that could alleviate a kid in the bookstore.
Yeah, I'm about to say, that's somebody's books. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you don't have to think of it on the scale of
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars or millions of dollars.
But
just think about being a part of paying it forward and what that could mean. So, I say all that to say, Mr. Smith was a little, you know, he was going for a little minute.
A little long-winded.
On top of saying he was going to wipe out those loan debts, he also had he had already given $1.5 million to the school.
Yep.
So I saw that. He could fucking talk for 2 hours.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that was fine. Angela Bassett also received an honorary degree. And
was that from Spelman?
No, it was from Morehouse in
arts. Okay. Oh, okay, because I know Spelman's.
It was a doctorate. Doctorate. Morehouse's graduate program is not just men.
Yeah, because I know Spelman's graduation was also this weekend. I didn't know.
So, I knew it was going to be a little bit long. I didn't realize it was going to be so long. It was a little brutal. I got to be honest, man. We got out there at 7:30. Literally got to the space at 7:30. Graduation starts at 8:00. I thought, okay, I know I won't be right in the front, but I should be okay at 7:30. Mm-hmm. I was not.
People was out there, what, like 6 a.m. probably?
Man, you know, Miss Barbara and them got up and made some grits.
At 4:40.
You got to get up 4 day in the morning, as my aunt used to say. And they was out there, man. And, you know, look, God bless them. I definitely wasn't getting up at 4:00 in the morning.
Nah, hell no.
Get no seats. So that's that.
Yeah.
Way in the back. It was a little hard to hear, so that was also a big part of why that particular section was kind of checking out a little bit.
Okay.
It was hard to keep up with, but it was a great ceremony. It is a lot of pomp and circumstance that comes with more.
Of course.
A lot of traditions. Of course. And, you know, you saw it.
You know, black people love to carry on. We love to carry on.
When I say...
We have a ceremony,
we was out there.
Cheer. I mean, out here. And look, man, I wanted to go up under the tree, man. Give me a little taste at one point.
And I'm sure you could have, because I'm sure you know there's a few flats out there.
Oh, definitely, because they had a ton of alumni.
Yeah.
Dudes that graduated in, like, you know, 71 and all. Old heads.
Because, matter of fact, the hotel I always stay at, they had Friday night. They had Morehouse Spelman class of 79 reunion.
Oh yeah,
at the hotel, at the hotel ballroom. So that shows the level, and it shows the level of alumni that come down for graduation.
Oh yeah, it was very. You know what I'm saying? They had alumni. They had alumni classes, basically, 5 years, 7 years. You know, there was a lot of them there, and it was really, really great. Again, it was great to be a part of that. Again, I was, you know, proud of my son. It was very. Touching to see the young men. You can see them beaming with pride. You know, a couple of them were crying as they were walking out in the processional going into the section where they would sit. So it was really, really great, man. I was very happy. But like I said, man, it was basically almost a 6 hour experience. And that's a very, very long time. I actually didn't even get through all the programs.
Hey, real quick, I've been meaning to ask you, whatever happened to the white kid that was the president of the class? Did he graduate?
Oh, I'm not sure. I didn't see a white kid there. But not all of the kids that graduated.
Like
you remember when we did talked about on the show about 2 years ago. He's a white kid that was going to Morehouse, and he was the president of the class. I think it was Justin's class, actually.
Yeah, well, Justin was seeing him, but
yeah, and it was a whole thing because like, how was this white kid ahead of the president of a class at Morehouse? It was like a little bit of a controversial thing. We talked about it on the show, but I kind of forgot about it, and you know the. Yeah. I don't know what happened to the kid, so I don't know if he graduated.
Yeah, I didn't see him. There was some, they had the valedictorian speak and, you know, couple other, folks. So it was really, really good. There were a lot of kind gestures. And again, man, you saw an amazing outpouring of love and support, and you can see why those young men that were there made it.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to say, I think that, people are not quite fully all the way grasping what Robert Smith did in that. Obviously, not only does he clear the decks for the kids like Nye was saying, but he also is no interest now on those loans. So which really, so say you know, just say for round number, if your loans ended up being 100 grand, you know, usually by the time you pay them off, you know, sometimes you're late and you get your little penalties or whatever, you could almost end up paying double in interest and fees and all that other shit. So the banks are also looking at it like, damn, because that's how the banks make their bread.
Right,
interest. So they're also like, damn, son, like we just got the principal back and got to keep it pushing, you know? So
I will say, like, the one thing about this, Robert Smith has done a good job of being relatively low.
Very low.
That ain't the case no more. I hope, you know, this kind of public gesture doesn't, you know, put him on the wrong people's radar. To just be annoying, but I also want to give a shout out to the dude. So Oprah was at somebody's graduation.
Oh yeah,
and posted about it. So shout out to the person who thought they were being savvy and witty in saying you should have given out some scholarships, da 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 da.
And the paper was dead off.
Yeah, and Oprah had to remind him that she's had a fucking endowment at Morehouse since 1989. And has put 400 men through the school.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about, nigga? Like, what?
That was like the first big thing that I knew that Oprah did. Like, I just, it's been 30 years. Like, what did you do for 2 seconds? Funny.
Matter of fact, I got to ask Justin, but I think there was a kid that Tyrese basically.
There was. I think I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, I remember Tyrese saying he was going to do it.
And he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Justin said the kid was, I don't know if he graduated. I don't know what happened. Like the first couple years, he was like, yeah, they were in the same dorms together.
Wow.
And you know who else helped put a kid through school tonight is Coltrane.
Curtis?
Yeah. Cause he went to Morehouse.
Yeah, he went to Morehouse.
So some kid tweeted him today and was like, yo, you didn't basically like, yo, you know, obviously you didn't do what Robert Smith did, but you really helped me.
Right.
He picked this one kid and like kind of helped him through and paid him. Yeah. So like you said, like Sean said, I mean, even that's not even cheap, but like it doesn't have to be millions of dollars to like help people out and whatnot. The other thing before we move on is this, it was as usual, it was just bugging me out. Like people were like really trying to come for Robert Smith. Like what? like why he, I'm like, how do you have an attitude
about when that? Just
cleared the deck for 400 students? Right. Like, they talk about his wife and like what?
Oh, because he's married to a white woman.
Whatever,
even if you're married to a white woman, like clearly you're doing the work.
Yo,
clearly,
Robert Smith be doing mad shit.
I mean, like people don't like. First of all, there might not even be a Smithsonian right now.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, people don't know that part. That $1.
Yeah.
Okay, people forget he financed the National Black
Museum. They didn't know. They don't know because don't nobody ever want to go to Google for nothing.
Well, also, listen, I don't really care about what that man has done in his personal life. Like this was a gesture that was far and beyond what anybody would have expected, asked for, or even anticipated. And so, for him to do that is again. I am not just talking about, I am talking about families.
Yeah. Yep.
Like families, you know, struggle with that shit because a kid might have to stay home longer than he anticipated.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's straddled with debt. And so what happens is often, I think, is that we often see folks not being able to chase their passions in their careers.
Or take the job they really want.
Yeah, take a job because I got to pay these.
I got to pay these. Because
Foss is blowing my damn phone up.
Exactly. Yeah. So, again, I don't know how you can give people give $40 million to strangers and still be a bad guy.
Right.
It's fascinating to me. But, you know, that's the world that we live in and people have their, you know, listen, there's another conversation to be had, which is how and why are those student loans even
that high?
Real thing, yeah. Right? Like, how did we get to this point where going to school? Because basically what we're saying is, look, guys, this is what you need to go to your, just to even go to the job interview, right? Even go to the job interview, you need a suit. Except all of the suits cost $140,000.
Exactly.
Right? Like, how do you even justify that? It's just not, it's a very, very high number. Listen, there are some options. People can go to community colleges. You can work your way into state schools. You can gain a degree and not necessarily take on the levels of debt that some people do. But we also know that college is about the experience. The college is about, your network.
The socializing and all that stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big part of it. That's why, that was one of the things that I wanted to make sure that my son, when he was going to make his decision, that he was making his decision based on the school.
Yeah.
Wanted to go, and it was not going to be heavily weighed on finances.
Yeah, and now he got lifelong friends that I'm sure he'll do things with, and you know, and you know, and they'll get married, and they'll be in each other's weddings, and all that shit that comes with that bond and that connection of going to school with somebody. So yeah, no, we're proud of you, Justin. And we're happy for you that you made it through in four. You didn't do the fifth year. You made it through in four.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it, you know. Real quick, I just wanted to mention just a couple sports things. The basketball's been great again. Sunday night was everybody else was watching Game of Thrones. I was watching the basketball game. It was a double overtime game between Toronto and Milwaukee. Drake was on the sideline acting a damn fool. Golden State swept Portland. So that's over with, but we got Milwaukee and Toronto tonight, which I think it could end tonight. And I just want to mention, Deontay Wilder, who just damn near killed this nigga in the ring, Saturday night.
Nigga.
Yo, he hit that nigga so hard. I was like, Jesus.
My nigga, if you had some beef with that nigga in the club, I'm definitely going to need both sides. I'm going to need some context.
So wait a minute. Did you bump into this nigga?
What did you do exactly?
Tell me exactly what happened. You was kind of wrong, bro. I got to say, I'm on his side on this one. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to be there. That guy's amazing. And, you know, he's making heavyweight boxing exciting again. It's been a long time since it's been exciting. Quick shout out, bro. I signed up for Clear.
Oh, didn't I tell you?
Shout out to Clear.
You got it too, man?
Yeah, coming back and forth out of Atlanta, that is a must.
Got to.
Because that TSA line be cray.
It was bonkers this morning, and they had a special, so I got it for $100.
Mm-hmm.
It was regular $179, but it dropped.
Well, if you have miles, you can get it for $99 on that.
Okay, when I did it, it was supposed to be $179, but with my miles, it dropped to $109.
So, right. Okay. Yeah, so I know something like
that. Yeah, so I'm good to go with Clear now. And peace to the old black man who probably was coming from Mars graduation because he had the Omega Psi Phi hat on. He was with his kids, grown kids. They were grown, and his wife, and the man was checking them coming through the thing, and he rubbed his stomach, and he said, "What is this, sir?" He said, "I got a hernia." He let my belly button stick out. That's what it is. You know what a hernia is, now. I said, "Man, leave this old mess. What the man through, God, man?
Lord Jesus.
Let him through the damn thing.
What not the hernia. Oh, my God.
Don't you think Kiki was in a wheelchair? Let him through, man. Come on. Nigga, what are you going to do? Blow a plane? Seems niggas getting, this nigga got me gay. That nigga got me a little tight messing with that old man like that. Checking him and shit. What are you doing, nigga? Stop it. I also want to mention another sports thing, but it's a kind of bigger story, I guess, was Magic Johnson. Did this interview on ESPN yesterday morning with Stephen A. Smith, explaining why he left the Lakers, which was a really good interview. Did you see it, bro?
I
see the clips.
I saw about 6 or 7 minutes of it, and I have.
Go ahead.
I love Magic, and I fucks with Magic. Magic has handled this piss poor from start to finish. And Magic had, you know, Magic has expectations of how he was expecting things to run.
Yeah.
And the level of rope that he was going to be given.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely don't think that Magic is built to operate in any structure.
No.
Is not the head nigga in charge.
He never has.
It just ain't going to work. It's not going to work. And look, God bless him. He's right, right? I make more money being Magic than I'm ever going to make here.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, nigga, Magic was showing up in the office 2 days a week. Nigga come in 11:30. That nigga having meetings on the tarmac and the escalade. Talking about, I got to shoot. I gotta go to Chicago. Y'all gotta come meet me at the airport.
Word.
You know, I ain't got time to be at the office today.
Like, word. Crazy, you know, hey, y'all ride with me to the airport. And we were meeting the car. Then I had a car take you back to the office.
It's like magic. You're the president of basketball operations for a fucking $4 billion, $5 billion franchise, dude. Like, you're not fucking general manager of the Ohio Stampede.
Magic is doing him. Hey, man, Michael and them got a poker game tonight. I'm flying to Chicago.
Yeah. Me and Charles going down to the steakhouse. You know, but also too, it just showed me that Jeannie has also let this, you know, fester. Mm-hmm. And you know what we're really seeing is corporate shit, right? You know, this is you know, we call it backstabbing and all of that. You know, this is basic corporate shit. Rob Pelinka is looking for a position. He wanted Magic's job. Magic wasn't there. Jeannie has basically done a terrible job at managing executives because, yes, as a leader, you have to manage executives, and you cannot manage executives and their egos and personalities the same way you do a regular employee.
You can't.
That's not how this works.
You're right.
You have to take a lot of things into consideration. She seems to have a very incestuous way she hires people.
Yeah. She hires her friends.
Yes. And so it all kind of, Magic included, right? Magic included.
Magic included.
It is what it is. The Lakers are an absolute shit show, and y'all got LeBron James for another 2 years, so let's see how that works out.
LeBron looking out the front door right now like, oh, my God, what the fuck is going on here? And then, you know, I don't know what they're going to get, any free agents. Like, I don't know. It's a mess. It's a mess. But, I mean, you know, with a show, like you said, his Magic has been Magic since he was at Michigan State. We graduated with 79, right? Yep. So Magic's been Magic for 40 years. He's never had a job per se. He had a job as a basketball player, but he's never
run Magic Johnson Enterprises. No,
what I'm saying, he's never had to work for anybody.
He's never really had a boss except when
he played basketball. And so he's always been the guy, and obviously he's ultra successful at being it. I think he's worth like $800-900 million. It's something crazy.
Okay, so Magic ain't missing no meals.
No, so he's looking at it like, what? Like, I'm not reporting you and you. What you mean you talk about me in emails and like, what the fuck is this?
And we have to remember, we still also talk about an old nigga from Michigan.
For the Midwest. Old Midwest nigga.
There's certain ways you go about things and certain ways you do things and certain ways you don't. And I don't think he's ever really been comfortable with being a peg in the structure of a corporation.
I agree.
It's well for him. And I think that also too, Magic should know that the president of the Lakers is not a job that you're going to be able to do on Tuesdays and Thursdays. 11:30 or 45, my nigga.
Exactly.
Like, that nigga was probably not even going into the, like, he was probably just talking to people from the doorway.
Yeah.
Like, I'm finna shoot out right quick. Y'all need me for anything?
That's hilarious.
He wasn't doing no heavy scouting. He would go to the NCAA tournament.
Magic, listen, that's the other thing. He really couldn't do a lot of that shit.
Yes, yeah, he couldn't do a lot of shit.
That was his hang up.
Yeah.
Magic's hang up was that he could no longer be Magic, and Magic is best when he's shaking hands and kissing babies.
And talking that shit.
If you've ever been in Magic's presence, there is a glow. Then people talk about, oh, he's got a glow. There is a glow.
Yeah, for real.
Magic got that shit. Magic lights up the room, my nigga.
And everybody want to fuck with him.
Everybody. I've never been in a room other than with Muhammad Ali that I've seen people, like, everyone defers to Muhammad Ali.
Everybody falls back.
Magic has that same aura.
Yeah.
If there was Magic and Barack Obama in the room, like,
yeah, no doubt. The one thing I did like, there's that clip you posted, bro, Magic and Stephen A backstage. It was this awesome. Oh, two old niggas talking shit.
They talking about their suits.
I stopped wearing the double breasted, but I might have to go bring it back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They was definitely hitting me with, nah, nigga, you got the best hand. But yeah, nah, you know, I'm a big Magic fan, man. So like, even though he, like you said, he's kind of handled piss poorly. Like, I'm just riding with him anyway, man. Fuck it.
Oh yeah.
You know? Nah, you want to talk about the whole
Game of Thrones?
We threw that next. The white woman that washing their legs.
Oh, so there's been this thing going on Twitter, because this wasn't the first time it happened. This thing happens on Twitter where somehow, I never know how it starts, somehow a white woman always wants to raise her hand to talk about how much she doesn't bathe,
mm-hmm.
or how much she doesn't use soap.
Mm-hmm.
How unnecessary it is
to use a washcloth.
Well, they don't even bring up the washcloth until we ask about the washcloth.
True.
Because they don't know about it. But somehow this woman volunteered that, and when they bring it up, there's always some more white women who are like, yeah, me neither. Why would we do that? So this woman for some reason brought up that she doesn't wash her legs. I don't know why. I don't know what the context was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because she didn't see the need.
Yeah, she's like the soap runs down your leg.
Yeah, she's like, they don't get dirty. But it was part of a larger conversation about another woman who said she doesn't really use soap.
What?
That she doesn't use soap on her whole body. She uses it on her underarms and somewhere else.
What about the rest of her body? The crack of her ass and all that?
She said she doesn't use soap there. So that's what started it. That's what started it. As black people were being incredulous.
Like now.
As we do. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean you don't use soap? What do you do? And she was all like, oh, I just let the water run down, blah, 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 blah. And we asking questions. This lady chimed in and was like, well, I don't wash my legs every day. She said she washes them when she's prepping them to shave, right? So what? We were like, so what do you do? And like you said, she was like, the soap runs down. So then she said that she actually washes like neck to knee and then washes her feet. So I was like, if you're doing all of that,
why are you skipping the calf?
Why are you skipping your legs? And she was like, well, my legs don't get dirty. And I was like, none of this makes sense. Like, none of this makes sense. So I don't understand. Maybe it's because black people, when you bathe as a black child, there is some black lady in your house somewhere.
Definitely.
Every time you get out the tub, she'd be like, did you wash behind your such and such? Make sure you got your such and such.
Checking your shit.
Did you get your blah, blah, blah?
So
clean them in. So we have it drilled into us to make sure you hit every body part.
Yes.
But it's like with white people, like one woman was saying that, was suggesting that most white people, they'll say that soap is drying, which is true. But to us, it's like, okay, so you use lotion.
Yeah, exactly.
One white lady said she hadn't used lotion in all of 2019.
What? Come on, bro.
So we're like, you use lotion. And it's true, like really hot scalding showers and certain soaps will dry your skin out. That's accurate. But just to get in the shower and just let some water run under your body?
Nah, that's disgusting, B.
You're not exfoliating? You're not doing nothing?
This is my
water don't wash dead skin off.
Like it don't wash off funk neither.
Right! Because you know these the same niggas that's using natural deodorant. You know they are.
Well, I got two theories. First theory is, I think in America, I'll start with America. I think some of this behavior, the washing behavior between the different washing behavior between the races, it traces back to slavery in that we were obviously in the fields. We were getting dirty as hell, you know, all kind of disgusting shit was happening to us in the fields. So we got a chance to really wash our bodies off and clean all that gook off of our bodies. Cause you know, people probably had to piss and shit on themselves. It wasn't like you take bathroom breaks, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when we got a chance to really wash our bodies thoroughly, we did it. And I think that kind of culture was translated down to, like you said, nah, with somebody in the house being like, did you wash my ears? Wash your neck? You know what I'm saying? Whereas white folks obviously weren't in the fields and so felt like they weren't dirty because they just sat on the porch all damn day and watched us do all the hard labor. I think some of it is that. And I think some of it is just like, again, further back, like And this is real history, so you know, if you're offended, I apologize. But I think it was the Moors. If you know Nile Shore correctly,
taught the Europeans,
taught the Europeans how to wash. Yes, yeah. they weren't washing. Perfume was invented because basically they wouldn't wash it. Exactly, yeah. They would just cover themselves in what they thought was a pleasant scent to cover up the funk because they didn't wash. And that's a cultural thing. And like I said, we came up from Northern Africa and Central Africa, and when we went into Europe, we taught them literally how to wash their bodies.
Right. Right.
I think that a lot of it is that, you know,
it's possible. I mean, a lot of these, but it's also, you know, white people like thinking that they're earthy, crunchy, different, whatever. I don't know. I do also just think that. But what surprises me is every time I realize that black people seem to take better care of their skin, but all these skincare commercials I see on TV mm-hmm. are white people, the lotion, mm-hmm. the moisturizing body washes, the mm-hmm. this and that. Some of these women think that they're fighting against, you know, the conglomeration of the beauty industry or whatever the fuck. I don't know. But my thing is, I've been around some of y'all. Y'all motherfuckers stink. And you don't know you stink. We know when we stink. We know when we smell like outside.
Absolutely.
We know it.
We know when we smell like outside. And we will smell ourselves. You'll see us.
Put an arm on.
Like, let me check. No,
I forgot to put deodorant on this morning.
And when we see people that we didn't expect to see, we even preface that shit. Hey, man, I ain't, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
like, right.
I ain't going to give you a hug because
I did that shit on fucking Saturday. Absolutely. Like, so I don't know. But it amazes me how different, because then people get into the washcloth conversation. And I think some of that may also be a regional thing.
Really?
I think Southerners use them. But that's also something like when you go to Europe, you don't get washcloths.
So you what do you
use? Those hand towels. I use the hand towels.
Yeah, exactly. You're using something. Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
I will use the end of a whole towel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I use the hand towels, but it's hard to find washcloths when you travel in some places in Europe. So yeah, but it's just white people. Oh, and then what always inevitably happens is that while we're talking about white people being nasty, and then there's always somebody who talks about how they only bathe 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Like they volunteer to shit. Then what ends up happening is that, like, by the second day, and I'm not trying to be disparaging, but it's a bunch of motherfuckers talking about how we're being ableist. You know, old people can't wash. Oh, they're depressed. We're not talking about y'all. We're talking about able-bodied motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Who proudly announce that they don't wash properly. We're not talking about y'all.
Talking about somebody who's disabled. Come on, of course not. That's ridiculous.
But that always happens. It happened this time too. That always happens. We're not talking about y'all. And I was happy because there's one woman who's like I'm gonna say the wrong thing, but she's an advocate for the differently abled, right?
Mm.
And she was like, shut up. Like, you know what I mean? So like them. She was like, nobody's talking about us right now. Like, just chill. So, but white people, listen, those of you who listen to the show, tell your brethren and sister and tell your fellow whites, don't be telling people that shit. Y'all love telling black people embarrassing ass shit.
Yeah,
I do not know why. I do not know why you give us that information, because know that not only do we file it away, we go home and talk about you
all day.
Stop telling us your nasty shit.
Sidebar to another white person thing. I saw a clip today. I guess Dr. Oz was on the Breakfast Club this morning,
mm-hmm.
and Charlamagne was like, Dr. Oz, should we wash our chicken? And Dr. Oz was like, no, don't wash your chicken, because you wash your chicken in the sink and it splashes all over the place and salmonella's all over the kitchen. And I'm like, how the fuck are you washing chicken? It's just splashing salmonella all over. Like, you wash, and then Angelique was like, no, you wash it in the sink and that's it. You don't wash it all over the kitchen. And Dr. Oz was like, no, it's been proven that it'll end up all over your kitchen. I'm like, what? What are you just throwing chicken breasts around? I don't understand what the fuck he meant. Like,
well, there's a couple of the black girl chefs on Twitter that have been arguing this down for years. Saying don't wash. Saying, especially if you're frying chicken, the heat of a cast iron pot or pan is so hot, it kills any bacteria on the chicken. So you can like pat it down, or like people talk about marinating some lime juice, but they say the same thing, like avoid cross contamination with chicken. When you cook it, the heat itself kills the germs.
So
guess,
what do you,
guess what? I'm 42. Okay? I've been cooking since I'm fucking like 15. Okay. I ain't never got no fucking salmonella poison, and I wash my chicken. Okay. So y'all take that and run with that how you feel.
Exactly.
Y'all miss me with that fucking, that oh my God. Like, if you want to talk about cross-contamination, then yes, for the most part, I understand that in theory, okay?
Right.
But this fucking idea that taking a pack of chicken wings and putting them in a fucking bowl in the bottom of a sink and washing them out is going to have your whole fucking house, you know, cross-contaminated with salmonella, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's stupid.
Like, if you want to make the point, like, I get the whole cross-contamination point, right? But this whole don't wash your chicken, like first of all, I clean chicken.
Yes.
Okay? And it's fucking disgusting under that skin.
There's a
layer of slime and fat and gook that's under that skin.
So and an occasional feather.
Yeah, if you're cool with eating that, let me know. Let me know if you don't wash your chicken, my nigga. Because I promise you, you ain't ever got to worry about saving up.
Exactly. I'm washing my shit. And that's how we were taught. And like you said, I think 99% of us ain't never got salmonella for chicken. Yeah. So I'm going to keep pushing it this way. You know what I'm saying? I'm good. Also wanted to mention, did you see the clip of this parent, this woman getting at the kids in class or bullying her daughter?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I know she's in trouble now.
She is.
Yeah.
Wow. Allegedly.
I don't know the specifics, but I think like some other parents who have seen it are really not happy with it.
It looked like it was a lot of white kids in the class. So I kind of feel like that's kind of who she was threatening. You couldn't see, but I felt she was kind of threatening. She said it was boys that were bullying her daughter. The teacher was
just sitting there grading papers and shit.
I was wondering about the teacher, like either the teacher was shook or the teacher.
No, the teacher had to allow it because no teacher is going to let, no parent is just going to bum rush a classroom like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Or the teacher was seeing what was going on. And I guess maybe couldn't do but so much.
But you don't think she actually allowed
the... Oh, yeah, no. I think she allowed it.
I think
she co-signed it. Like, well, all right, come on in.
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say that the teacher co-signed it as much as I recognize that it was probably in her best interest to not try and stop that mother. Like, what that mother was going to do or what that mother was going to say was going to be said regardless.
Right.
And even if she jumped in the middle of that or tried to, listen, I don't know what steps prior to this mom doing this was taken. So that's why the context is a little off, right? Because if your daughter came home one day and says, hey, you know, these kids at school are bullying me, and that was literally her first step, that's a bit much.
Well, I was very surprised to see a parent in the classroom addressing students.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. I was very surprised that was allowed.
And as a security measure,
yeah,
that never happened.
Yeah, that's what was shocking to me. I also wonder what level, like Sean said, what level it got to that she came to the class. Like you said, was it a one-time thing or were these dudes really just doing some real fucked up shit to this girl that make the mom go up there and be like, yo, all anybody's mom, auntie, cousins can all get it. Like, just let me know if they're over 18. I'm handing out ass whoopings for free. So what happened now with her getting in trouble? Because I didn't hear that part of it.
You know what? I didn't look at the details, but my guess is going to be like, for example, had I been a parent and I saw that, I would have been calling up to the principal's office immediately. Like, why does this grown ass woman who I don't know talking to my child like this?
I wonder if the teacher got in trouble too for allowing it.
I would have to imagine.
Nah, yeah. I wouldn't.
You don't think so?
Nah, her union better not let her get in trouble for allowing it because that woman had no. That first of all, in order for that woman to have gotten to a classroom, she had to go through a security checkpoint. At minimum,
she had to climb through the window.
She had to go through at least two other people for her to get to that point.
True.
And if she didn't, then that's a whole nother topic of discussion that needs to be handled. But the fact that an adult was in that room, addressing those kids in a group setting. And listen, I say this as a parent, I understand that mother's frustration, and I don't think that this was handled in a way that was, one, becoming of an adult, and two, you know, really, you know,
appropriately
teaching your kid how to problem solve. Mm. Right. Because,
like, let me come solve your shit.
And not just let me come solve your shit, but I'm gonna come solve your shit in the most, in for the lack of a better term, in the most primitive way.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna come kick some ass.
Like, I'll fuck your mother up. Now go get your mother. Like, yeah. Like, it don't get no more primitive than that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Go get your mother, go get your auntie, and it's lit. I'm reading about a little bit here. It was in the LA area, and then some parents kept their kids home following the mom's tirade for bullying the daughter. So I guess it's, it's in Orange County. So this is
so
you already know. You already know.
Absolutely. But also, like, I wouldn't want my mama to do that, because I'm actually going to get bullied more after that. You know what I mean? Because then it's like, your mama came up here and scared everybody, and now your mama done gone viral acting crazy. Like, none of that bodes well for me.
Yeah.
As a child. That was one of my first thoughts, was like, oh, they gonna really fuck with this chick.
But, you know, like a lot of shit, you know, Twitter, and I would have did the same thing. I would have did, whatever, man. Like, that wasn't something to me. That wasn't something honorable.
Mm-hmm. I've been the bully kid. I know how this shit, like, when I was in middle school, not about high school, but it's not that, nothing about, like, nobody dapped her daughter up after she left that day.
Yeah, like, yo, your mom's dope.
Yeah, no, everybody's like, what the fuck is wrong with your mom? I'm not coming to your house. You know, like, that type of shit. Yeah, no.
So the mom, I read up on it. The mom has actually been banned from the campus.
Which tells me that she didn't have permission to be up there.
Yeah, yeah. So, she was banned from the campus. And just like I said, a lot of the parents have called and complained and kept their kids at home. And she said that it was because her daughter begged her to, like, not go. Like, she was dropping her daughter off, and her daughter begged her to not make her get out the car to go to school, because I guess she was getting bullied by these kids. So, what I'm hoping is like you said, the moms are banned, and like you said, it's not, you know, it's emotionally it looked great, but in reality, it's not a great thing to do. But I'm hoping that this is not masking them also dealing with the kids who have been bullying the girl. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like, oh, well, you know, we're just going to focus on the mom and, like, forget the fact that the reason the mom did this is because some kids, boys in this class, were bullying the shit out of this little girl. So, you know, I'm going to kind of keep an eye on it and kind of see how it goes. Now, you want to talk about Game of Thrones? This is the last episode. It seems like everybody was mad.
Fucking
upset, disappointed, or whatever. I don't know.
So, I explained to you guys, like, how the storytelling has changed in Game of Thrones, and the fan feeling is that the showrunners just don't give a fuck. They're about to do the next Star Wars movie. They like, we're ready to get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah.
Get
money.
Yeah. They're like, we're gone. Fuck this shit. Fuck these kids. So the ending, it was very meh. It was whatever. I wasn't mad at it, but I wasn't happy with it. I had no emotional connection to the ending at all. And a show this epic, I should not have walked away with no emotional connection to the ending at all. Some of the plot lines were a little too neatly tied up. Some of them make, you know, you don't always want everything to be super clean. That feels like a cheat code, right? Some plot lines, some endings, you could see why they made sense. The story just didn't take time to develop us getting there. So it felt like you skipped some steps. Like, they didn't
plot so it was out. So did it make it confusing sometimes? Like, well, how did this
No, we could understand how everything happened, but it just seemed like they could have, like, the timeline felt really condensed for the episode. Like, a bunch of shit happened in this episode. And for the past couple of seasons, the show has no longer been clear about what the rules for the passage of time are. So we have no idea, like, how much time has passed. Is it a year? Is it some months? Is it weeks? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, we have no idea, which doesn't help. And I don't know. It was a very disappointing ending to what, like I said last week, have for so long been such an excellently executed show. Mm. It was really just like when you've been cleaning your room and you get to the end and you just shove everything in the closet because you're tired.
Yeah.
It's so like that.
The last little bit.
You just be like, fuck, I'm going to throw it under the bed or whatever. It's like that. It felt like that.
So, do you think this whole thing about, well, for a couple things. I couldn't remember. I know you said he was writing.
George hasn't finished the last two books yet.
So right. Do you think when the last two books get finished, there will be another series? Or you think that one will go to the screen? Or you think it'll
just No. There's not going to be any more because the ending is going to be in the same place.
Oh, it is.
They're ahead. The show was ahead of the books.
So, I remember you said now the show started kind of making stuff up because the book.
Right.
You still think it'll end in the same place, even though.
So allegedly, the ultimate ending is the same.
Okay.
But the paths they took to get there
will be different,
right? So I think that we will get a more developed and involved, like what people have been missing is just like y'all are taking shortcuts on the storytelling and you're not letting things, plot lines develop and you, like shit is just like, it's out of, so people are acting out of character and whatever. George, I think, will take his time to get us to where we need to be. But I think ultimately the same, whatever the final ending is in terms of who ends up on the throne, who ends up dead, I think all of those things are supposed to be the same.
Okay.
But just the path we take to get there is different. So George has two more books to get us there. The show has been ahead of the books for like four seasons.
Okay.
So I think, but I don't think, I mean, it's still, I don't think George can sell new rights to tell a new ending version of game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, like, it's HBO show now. I don't know that you can do.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They own the property. And stuff.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to you all.
But I'm waiting for George, not that George R. Martin will ever be listening to this podcast, but it'd be real. My hope had been that the pre-order for book six was going to go up right after the finale, which is the main book, and it didn't. But I'm going to keep a lookout for that.
All right. Well, peace to Game of Thrones. So, like, what do you think? Is there anything on the horizon that you think is going to be, like, the next show to this level? Or this kind of like the last? I've saw people say this, too. I wrote, certain people say this on podcasts. People think this might be the last show
of that
to ever garner this type of interest. Where, I mean, like, it's a whole thing.
I mean, I could kind of agree with that, but you never know. Like, we didn't know Game of Thrones was coming. You know what
True.
I mean?
True, you didn't know it was going to turn into this.
And I mean, The Walking Dead had that for a while. And But I will say, I don't know that we're ever going to see, or at least for a while, I don't know if we're going to see, because nobody could have conceived just as a TV show, a production on this level. It had to be an adaptation. And it was some of the most ambitious television ever done. Some of the production, some of the scenes, some of the special effects, some of all of that, the cost, the people, how long it took. Mm. I don't know if we're going to see that again.
Okay.
In terms of fan engagement, I don't know if we'll ever get a series that big again, where it's like the biggest show in the world for everybody. But I think there'll be some other shows that are dope. Like, I'm really looking forward to Westworld coming back. You guys don't watch Westworld either, do you?
I saw a couple of episodes at the end of last season, and it was kind of cool.
It's very dope. So I'm looking forward to Westworld coming back. As a matter of fact, Lena Waithe is going to be on it this year. This season.
Okay. And
was it Cuddy? I think it was Cuddy's in it next season, but it doesn't come until 2020. So, I mean, I don't think we'll see another phenomenon like this season of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's hard to say. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want to mention Foxy Brown. So
the artist?
Yeah, the artist.
Mm-hmm. What she do?
So she was in New York performing at Candy's Playhouse or whatever it's called.
Oh, right. She got booed.
And she got booed off the stage. And it wasn't like a huge thing, but I just thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, apparently she was singing, she performed the wrong lyrics to the song that I was performing. And what it really threw me, honestly, is what she was wearing, because she had like one of those chain masks on and she had the big sunglasses. You literally couldn't see her face.
Right.
Like at all. I'm like, why would she cover her whole face up? Like, you couldn't, and she never took it off. So, but she got booed. And then the DJ right afterwards threw on the jump up by Lil' Kim.
Oh, wow.
Right after. It was really fucked up. But I actually felt, you know, I know Foxy's burning some bridges and Foxy's, you know, hasn't been the most pleasant person a lot of times, but I really feel bad for her in this case because, like, she can't hear.
Right. So then why is she taking the gig?
I could see like her hype man. He was standing like very, very close to her because I think he was like trying to
feed her lyrics.
Guide her to like kind of keep her like on rhythm. And I think the DJ either fucked up on purpose or maybe not and played the wrong song, which is why she started doing the lyrics to the wrong record. Because I think you say, oh, first you do this, then you do that, then you do this. And right. I think he switched the order. And so she just started performing to what she thought was going to be there. But, I don't know. I just felt bad for her, man. I don't know.
I don't think anyone should take glee in seeing someone fall on their face, right? But I know that we live in a world now where that's sort of that comes with it, right?
Yeah.
Your face, and then everybody, you know, laughs at you and points at you and tapes you and all of those sorts of things. And I get it. It's probably, you know, one of the worst career experiences you can have in front of fans. But I think that you're right, Jeff. And I think that when you talk about the bridges being burned, and I don't necessarily know that that's just with industry people. I think also with fans.
And yeah.
I think you can burn fans, you know, one too many times, or make them feel like they are not valued. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that you don't get to have an off night. You know, it's kind of like how I felt when Joel Embiid cried after the game. It's like people can cry because they're hurting. Right, but you don't get to cry.
Yeah, friend. When you was fucking talking all that shit.
Not the way you've been trolling. Not
exactly.
You don't get. So that's what I feel like people have. People felt like, yo, all the shit you talk, you don't get to have an off night like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's was the reaction that you saw. And you know, look, I don't know what those people were expecting when they got there, but they definitely had all their phones out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Train wreck.
Absolutely. They and was posting that shit like it was going out of style. Last thing I want to cover is, real quick. I don't know if y'all got to see today. I saw on Twitter, Ben Carson, testified today in front of Congress.
Clowning his fucking self.
Like all jokes aside, like, did this nigga be high?
I was like, how is he this dense? But he was a medical. Is he a savant? Like, I think
this nigga be high. I think this nigga is on some type of pills and shit. Cause yo, he was wilding. Like when Katie Porter is at there, congresswoman from California. She's really good, really thorough, really smart. And she asked him about it was called an REO, which is a real estate. I can't remember the title, but it's something where that happens when people get houses.
It's something he needs to know as the director.
Yeah, it was basic for him. It's something when people can lose their houses to foreclosure and stuff like that. And she asked him, "What do you do about REOs?" And this nigga said, "Oreo," and she was like, "Oreo? No, man, REO. Do you not know what that stands for?" He's like, she said, "What does it stand for?" He was like, real estate," and she was like, "What does O stand for?" He said something, and he was wrong.
Wow.
Like it was like a most basic term for a housing person. And then another woman, black woman, I can't remember this congresswoman, she asked him something about an Amari, which I think is something that goes with the black woman who are a woman of color who are working for you. It's called an Amari. It's an acronym. This nigga said, Amway?
Oh, my God.
Yo, I think this nigga be high, B. I'm not saying that as an excuse. Go ahead, bro.
I don't think he's high. I just think that he is one of those people, like Nas said, I think he's a savant. I think he's one of those people who were meticulous taskmasters when you gave them one particular thing and you know, he's like a horse with blinders, right? Like you put him on that one road and you say, go straight, and he will go straight and he will never veer off.
Or he could be on the spectrum. It could be either one. Who the fuck knows?
And I was about to say, and even if there's a lake or a cliff on that road. He's not going to stop. He's literally going to keep walking, right?
Yeah.
He has no, like, he's just not, he to me, he does not have great cognitive skills. Like, he seems to be like a person who can't solve very simple things. You know, like
you might be right. Now, he might be autistic on the low and just never really diagnosed because as a kid.
He might be, and listen, you can clearly be, you know, you put the work in and you put the effort in. I'm not saying being a brain surgeon is easy by any means, because clearly that's a joke. It's not brain surgery, right? Like, that's literally a joke. So I get it, and I'm not dismissing his ability to you know, take in information and retain information, but I am saying that when he is outside of that realm, he seems almost, and I don't want to, I don't, you know, maybe for lack of a better term, he's almost like a child, right? Like,
like
he can't really function. Like, if you dropped him off in the middle of Times Square and said, yo, get back to your hotel in Queens, like, he might fucking never come back.
he just seems like he just is bewildered. Like, like, he's not really paying attention. He's not all there. Like, he's not cognizant. He's just,
The way he talks, the way he squints his eyes and closes his eyes, and like, his way he sits, scrunched up on him.
Remember, he's also being asked about things that he clearly doesn't know. It's no different than anyone else. It's like when you go up to the top to the class because the teacher asked you a question, and you have no fucking clue, or you got to do a presentation. You know, you didn't do the fucking work.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You start fidgeting. You know, your voice gets lower. Because you are not confident in what you know.
Yeah.
About this particular subject. If you go and ask him some shit about brain surgery and neuroscience, I'm sure he will rattle off for 30 minutes at a clip.
Yeah.
On something that would probably take most people, you know, we wouldn't even understand that shit. But I think when you put him anywhere else in the world,
he's like, what?
He's a fucking dunce. He's a dunce.
Yeah, he's a fucking dunce. So. And that's one of the last mention. This was a huge story of the last week, which is Georgia first, and now Alabama passing these anti-abortion laws, which is just wild. It's just wild, man. It's just wild. You're basically like, if you get an abortion in Alabama,
it's Georgia, Alabama, Ohio, Missouri.
Missouri is coming up right to pass, but they look like they're going to pass it too, I think.
Yeah, but Ohio did too.
Yeah, where it's like, if you get an abortion, you could go to jail and the doctor can go to jail for 99 years for performing abortions. And what I feel, and I've seen other people say this too, so I'm not the first person to say this, but I really truly feel like this is not even against black and brown people, where it usually is, it's against white women because their population is dropping. And they're forcing these white women to have babies. Like, you don't have any kids.
But it is, but here's the thing, it is also against black and brown people, but not the way people think. So there's always been this argument that, like, Planned Parenthood was meant as like a kind of, was like eugenics for black and brown kids, but actually it was the exact opposite. The founder of there was a eugenic society, the founder of which started Planned Parenthood, but
Margaret Sang,
she was working with like W.E.B. Du Bois and all that other stuff. There was a thought of this is an opportunity to make sure that the best and brightest who have the best opportunity make it, right? Like, in terms of just literally planning when you want to become a parent and when you don't, through both contraception. Cause I want to also say again that abortion is like the most minimal service that Planned Parenthood offers. It's like 5% of what they do annually.
Exactly.
They do, you know, gynecologist exams and screenings and birth control and like
cancer,
So it basically functions as a gynecologist's office, right? If you can't afford a regular gynecologist. So anyway, but if you keep black people from being able to control, because the control for women to plan their families is financial independence, career, you know, higher career attainment, you know, means you have more money. It means you can have more power. It means you can do more. So if you can keep Black people in the cycle of having babies, but then take social programs away from them so that they remain in the lower class, and then they end up in a cycle of destruction, and then you put them into the prison industrial complex, like that works for the powers that be up at the top, right? And on the flip side, white women gotta get stuck at home taking care of babies and marry some of these motherfuckers that they never had any intention of fucking marrying so that these niggas can feel like the man. So it really is that, and that sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's not.
It's factual.
And the men who are in charge of these laws, and in one case a woman, because the governor of
Alabama's a woman. She's the one who
The governor of Alabama's a woman.
K.I.V.
But a lot of the men who help draft these laws, they have no idea how women's reproductive systems work.
None.
Like, there's some governor who was talking about how, because I think with one of the laws in Georgia, even so, if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, you have to terminate the pregnancy. The woman could die.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby is not viable. Mm-hmm. And I think in the bill, they put it like the doctor has to take the fetus out of the tube
and then put it back in.
Put it in her uterus. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
there's another dude who said that he doesn't understand why a woman, if a woman has a child and say the child is dying, it becomes stillborn inside her, he's like, she should still be able to have to carry it to term.
Yeah, like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think any of this makes sense, and I don't think they want it to make sense.
Well, no, they want people to afford. They're making it so restrictive that people will sue, that they'll force it up to the Supreme Court, so that the Supreme Court will have to reconsider Roe versus Wade. The end game is to overturn Roe, is to repeal Roe versus Wade.
Absolutely,
they are making it as restrictive as possible on purpose, and they're saying that. That's not a guess. They're saying that.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that the reason that I think that you're seeing this press with all of these other states is that they know they have a very small window to get this done. And even though they have a, they've appointed two right-wing justices, conservative-leaning justices, we also know that with this particular president, having the threats and sort of the way he hangs over people can be just a massive influence. And they know if they miss this boat, it may be another 25 or 30 years before they get to this point. That's why I think he pressed so hard to put so many federal judges and appoint federal judges, which was like a number of federal.
Lindsey Graham has been packing local courts since the day Trump was sworn in. There's been like 40-something appointees. And some of those appointments he blocked when Obama was in office. He was holding on to them.
To put his own people in there.
At the national level. Meanwhile, Lindsey Graham's long game? Woo, shit.
Yeah.
They've
been planning. They've been sitting. This was why Obama's nomination, wasn't even entertained.
Right.
This is all of that. So, it is concerning. Hopefully, the Supreme Court has some sense and strikes this down. It is ridiculous. It is backwards. I don't want to hear anybody from Alabama ever telling me that they feel like people are making fun of them about them being backwards.
Yeah.
Fucking
it's just crazy. And what's scary is with all this shit, I still feel like these white women are going to vote for Trump in 2020 anyway.
Well, they will. I mean, because they will.
They vote with their husbands.
Yeah, they vote with their husbands. And to be honest, I mean, they vote with their interests, right? And it is always going to be.
Well, they never realize that, like, they get caught up in white patriarchy as well. Like, they somehow are always blinded by that. And I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, they always try to separate themselves. Like they're not part of the same issues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, they don't like you either, girl.
Exactly, exactly. They show you every day.
Every day.
And they don't like you, and y'all still like, yeah, but it's kind of like that psychological shit, like, even if they don't like us, at least we're better than them niggas and them spicks over there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
at minimum, they'll take care of us.
Exactly.
Like we'll have, you know, we'll have a place to stay, and we'll have food in our stomachs.
Right.
It's a matter of survival, I think.
Well, and there's also like this willful disconnect. And I won't say it's just white people, because I know plenty of black women who date black men who have, you know, misogynistic. And
oh, hell yeah.
But.
Absolutely.
So, what's the girl's name? Melissa Milano. After Georgia passed.
Oh, yeah.
She comes up with this idea. That shit went away so fast. She comes up with this idea of a sex strike. And it was the most ill thought out thing. I mean, it happens in some other countries, but it just doesn't make sense here. But it also doesn't make sense for this, because her thing was, if they're going to take away our control of our bodies, we're going to take away like their access. If they're going to take away our choice, we're going to take away theirs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to refrain from having sex until they change the bill. So there was like a hashtag, and there was like a little tagline, but it's like, okay, but first of all, if y'all are fucking these motherfuckers in the first place, that's a bigger problem.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
What, like, for me, and, you know, my nigga voted for Hillary Clinton. Like, what is me not having sex with my dude gonna do for the grand scheme of things? If you're trying to, right. And my thing is, like, I feel like it was so short-sighted, but it also told me how many of these white women are out here fucking these white men or with in relationships with these white men who they know would support this shit.
Absolutely.
Or who they know support Trump, or who they know like low key agree with all of this shit, but you still with them.
Yep.
I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So, but at the same time, I'm like, me withholding sex is going to do what? And like, also I want to have sex. Like the whole
reason, exactly.
the whole reason these reproductive restrictions and blocks exist is because these men resent the idea of women having sex for the sake of having
and
sex.
And enjoying it.
And women having sex for enjoying it themselves.
Yeah.
And so when you tell us that what we should do in response is to not have sex,
yeah,
that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We're actually reaffirming that we're just
she positions it like, woman, we don't enjoy having sex anyway, so.
So, yeah, like.
So we can stop easy because we don't like this shit.
Yeah, because.
We just do it for them.
That's how it sounds, right? And I was like, as soon as it was announced, the right wing was like, you're absolutely right, because the only way you can guarantee not to get pregnant is to not have sex. Kudos. You're right. We're fully on board. And I'm like, this is how you know this shit ain't gonna work. Like.
Now, I think there's supposed to be a big ladies' march this weekend, I believe.
Oh, I haven't heard anything.
I think I saw something on the news about it. I don't know if I'm mistaken or if it's not happening, but like, I don't know. This is just like, your man is just driving. I mean, we say this every couple of weeks, but your man is just driving the country right into the ground. B.
And
like,
it's gonna get worse. I'm telling you. So two things. The first thing is they've now gotten to the point where everybody on Team Trump is just like, fuck your subpoena.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Y'all kiss my ass. We're not doing shit. So we're already that. So the checks of the various branches of administration, like that shit is out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Out the fucking window. Secondly, Lindsey said the day before yesterday that if Trump loses in 2020, he's blocking every fucking thing. And he did it with Obama. So please believe he'll do that shit again. He was like, if Trump loses 2020, I'm blocking. And I'm still Speaker of the House. I'm still Senate Majority Leader.
Yeah.
I'm blocking everything.
And you motherfuckers are just getting lined.
Yeah, and we can't flip enough seats to
get him out of there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2020.
So I need everybody to be clear. We still fucked either way. Like, we are, like, even if we get a Dem in office in 2020, We're still.
You gotta try to render them powerless. Yeah,
well, not only that, but like we got all kind of crazy. We got all these fucking judges at the local system. We got gerrymandering, all kind of whatever. We got like we're still fucked up.
Yep.
For a long time.
It's like they made a deal with the ultimate devil in Trump, and now these are the repercussions that are gonna last for a long time.
Yeah.
even if he's out of there, like the repercussions and the ripple effect of having him in there is going to be.
The DLP is happy, but yeah, I saw Mark Lamont Hill, not to go on a tangent, but I saw Mark Lamont Hill tweeting about the abortion ban. And
what did he say about it?
I mean, he was obviously, you know, raising his fist over it, but I will never forget that this nigga sat on HuffPo and said, we can afford to lose one election. I will never fucking forget that.
He said that
because he was supported. He was a huge advocate of Jill Stein. But because this motherfucker, I promise you, all these public figures who were going for Jill Stein hard, I'm 100% sure it was only because they thought Hillary was going to win and they were trying to position themselves as the, you know, neoliberal fucking leftist punts, you know, pundits for Hillary's term and line themselves up for some checks. Mm-hmm. But this nigga said, we can afford to lose one election.
Now look.
Everybody who was like, what difference does it really make? Who gets in office? It's not going
to matter. Yeah, don't matter. I don't fuck with neither one of them.
It's the same either way.
Yeah, it's the same. Is it though? Yeah, exactly. Is it really?
All of y'all.
Yeah, it's terrible.
People told me I was fear-mongering. This is why, like, it's not fear-mongering if there's really something to be afraid of.
Exactly. And this motherfucker is the ultimate to be afraid of because he's a scumbag piece of shit. We're going to wrap it up on that note.
On that positive note.
Yeah, exactly. Happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Well, I think when you see us, the Central Park 5 story, does that come out this weekend?
I think so.
They've been doing previews.
They did a premiere. Yeah, they did a premiere like last night, I think. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I met Yusuf Salam over the weekend.
Oh, really? Yeah. I got that. I want to watch that. I still got to go see John Wick. And I got to go see.
I'm going to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to see John Wick, and I'm going to see Brightburn.
Halle Berry
looks like it's just gonna be a kid raging.
I don't get the plot. He's like the anti Superman. They found him just like Superman, except he decided to not be a hero. Yeah, he's gonna kick some ass. So I'm gonna peep that. I'm gonna go see that in Magic and get a few laughs in. Okay. But on that note, we're gonna wrap it up. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, y'all. Damn, summer's here.
Summer's here now. Don't need too much.
Nope.
And we see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.